This tape contains yours truly, Olga, for broadcast on Sunday, the 15th of July, 1984, in approximately 5 seconds from now. Hello, everyone. This is yours truly, Olga. Without aim and purpose, an individual is like an automobile without a steering apparatus. The poet says, "We make the world in which we live by what we gather and what we give, by our daily deeds and the things we say, by what we keep or we cast away. We make our world by the beauty we see in a bird's song or a lovely tree, in a butterfly's wing, in the pale moon's rise, and the wonder that lingers in midnight skies. We make our world by the life we lead, by the friends we have and the books we read, by the pity we show in the hour of care, by the loads we lift and the love we share. We make our world by the goals we pursue, by the heights we seek and the higher view, by hopes and dreams that reach the sun, and a will to fight till the heights are won. What is the place in which we dwell? A hut or a palace? A heaven or hell? We gather and scatter, we take and we give. We make our world and there we live. Yes, today is now, and now does not last forever. There's a time in the life of a plant that is crucial. To go without moisture is tragic. It withers and soon dies. Is this not just as true of a person who does not make use of his today?
Thank you.
The question that heads this article is, should friendship be forever? Friendship is one of the most valuable of human relationships. From the age of about 3, we begin to create alliances outside the family, making play dates, inviting each other to birthday parties, exchanging secrets, placing our trust in those who please us most. This early training is part of our culture. We are encouraged to regard friendship as sacred, a solemn commitment, a brotherhood or sisterhood of the spirit, requiring steadfastness and total loyalty. Rather like a marriage, friendship is expected to endure for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death us do part. But as marriage is imperfect, so unfortunately is friendship. I thought the world was one way, and he said it was another, so we split, said F. Scott Fitzgerald about his famous and painful rift with Ernest Hemingway. There are times when a friendship ceases to be what psychologist Jerry Greenwald calls nourishing, healthy, and satisfying, and turns into something frustrating, suffocating, embarrassing, even destructive. All friendships are based on some form of give and take, and if this balance goes awry, trouble starts. When we are in a symmetrical relationship, we are bothered, says psychologist Myron Brenton in his book Friendship. We cannot sustain our role in the friendship very long without some reaction. We need encouragement, positive feedback. Yet when a friendship sours, there is just no formal way to end it. Marriage and divorce, friendship and what? We must work in the dark. A man should keep his friendship in a constant repair, Dr. Samuel Johnson said. If either party fails to attend to those repairs, and this commonly takes the form of not returning phone calls, being unavailable for dates, only seeing the friend in large groups of other people, or simply arguing all the time, then one must be prepared for a falling out. For when a friendship collapses, disengaging yourself is tricky and requires a surgeon's skill. And if you are the abandoned one, your ability to handle the rejection without undue pain takes both courage and understanding. Here, then, are a few of the principal reasons why friendship falters. I've changed, you've changed. Friends who grew in different directions find their intimacy blocked by a sizable wedge. Friends can grow apart for a million reasons, but usually this shift takes place when we leave home, take on new responsibilities, and begin shaping different lives. I don't need you anymore. All friendships have a functional value. They are essentially an exchange. Some friendships are formed simply to ease loneliness, while others have a professional basis. And when the need served by the friendship no longer exists, the alliance itself is apt to crumble. Even the rich and famous can suffer the syndrome. Think of Simon and Garfunkel, or the Beatles. They started out together, but stardom dictated that they go their separate ways. Such breakups can be very painful, with feelings of abandonment or betrayal. You're too dependent on me. The balance struck in a friendship depends on a paradox: stability and flexibility. Sometimes one leans too heavily on one's friends. You knew me when? There's a classic plot, often featured in romantic novels. Two girls grew up together in the slums, and one becomes rich and successful, wanting never again to see the childhood friend who reminds her of her early deprivation and misery. That's a typical you knew me when pattern, but hardly the only one. Friends made during a particularly wild or irresponsible period of your life may also become quite burdensome. When we have lived together through a particularly difficult time, we sometimes want to forget the friends associated with our painful memories. Your friends are not my friends. When my best friend got married, we got a divorce, says a young woman about the loss of her favorite woman friend. Her husband just didn't like me. It was as simple as that. My friend felt terrible about it, but of course, her first loyalty was to her husband. So that was the end of me. Ideally, your mate would love your friends just as you do. But often that's not the case, and since your major commitment is to your partner, friendships suffer. The flip side of this scenario can also undo a friendship. The unmarried friend takes a strong dislike to the husband, thus creating an area of reserve that can widen into an unbridgeable emotional gulf. Then, we live too far apart. Geographical separation need not mean the end of a friendship. But for friends whose relationship has depended on nearly constant communication, how was last night? How did you sleep? Are you going to die today? When does your mother arrive? The loss of this day-to-day exchange can be damaging. Intimacy has been fed by close contact, and without it, the relationship may starve. I can't trust you anymore. Unlike a love relationship, which is bound together by both sex and romance, the only real glue in a friendship is loyalty. If your best friend runs off with your lover, then the betrayal is absolute. Even lesser betrayals, telling tales behind your back, bad-mouthing you to the boss, failing to stand up for you in a crisis, are not really the acts of a friend. And should an intimate undermine you in these ways, the relationship is best abandoned. Ending a friendship, for whatever reason, is hard. It takes courage. To feel assured that childhood friends will be friends throughout adult brings security, explains Myron Brenton. But at the price of remaining settled, forsaking growth and advancement, and possibly encouraging tedium. To retain in adulthood the luminous intensity of adolescent friendship means restricting the depth of marital or marriage-like relationships. An adult does not enjoy playing children's games. As we grow, we love different people, different things. It may be inappropriate, even destructive, to cling to a friendship that has ceased to nourish and satisfy. How willing you are to end a destructive relationship may be a direct reflection of how good you feel about yourself, how emotionally healthy you are at that moment, says psychologist Jerry Gillies, author of Friends. When you do feel good about yourself, you are aware that you cannot force a friend to stay with you if that friend really wants to go. In fact, you wouldn't want that friend to stay, because you too would realize that it is time for you to end the relationship. In some cases, it is possible to let a friendship cool, arranging to lunch every 6 months instead of every month, for instance, without terminating it altogether. You might become comfortable with this new emotional schedule over time. Alternatively, the friendship under stress might benefit from an all-out confrontation, an airing of mutual grievances that restores the possibility of intimacy. But sometimes a friendship can be neither saved nor allowed to wind down gracefully. It just has to end. If that is the case, and you're the one who wants to make the break, you should deliver the bad news quickly. Because people do not want to hear a long list of reasons why they're being rejected. Be kind and emphasize that your friend is a good person, greatly valued by other people. It is only this particular combination of personalities that has failed to work out. When you are the dumped friend, feelings of loss may be almost as acute as if you were left by a lover or fired from your job. And as in these situations, it can be helped to talk matters over with an objective third person whom you trust. You need to vent your anger and deal with feelings of guilt. Most important, try to learn from the experience so that even if you've lost a friend, you've gained in self-understanding. If you take the ending of a friendship as a sign that both you and your friend have grown, though in different ways, then you're well prepared for the future. As Jerry Gillies says, the best kind of friend will stimulate feelings of aliveness and worthiness in you. Now some thoughts on life and living. To live means to have purpose, to have goals, to have ends in sight. To grow up indicates the will to meet and accept challenges, to clear a road for life is like a bank. To earn interest in a bank, we must make deposits. And to receive life's dividends, we must also make deposits of time, energy, and talent. If we do our part, we will receive our fair share of interest. The important factor in life is not what happens to us, but the attitude we take toward what happens. The surest revelation of our character is the way we bear disappointment. The effect that misfortune has on life is determined by the way we meet it. "It is not miserable to be blind," wrote blind John Milton. "It is miserable to be incapacitated by enduring blindness." And by way of conclusion, we offer the advice of a rhymester to a would-be suicide. "Razors pain you, rivers are damp, acids stain you, and drugs cause cramp. Guns aren't lawful, nooses give, gas smells awful, you might as well live."
Thank you.
Here's another of my favorite verses, and I hope you like it too. It's called The Inner Man. It isn't the things you talk about, no matter how fine and true. It isn't the way you seem to live, nor even the things you do. It isn't the creed you call your own, nor the mottos on the wall. The only thing that really counts is what's in your heart, that's all. It isn't the many friends you make, it's only the friends you keep. It isn't the you that people see, it's the real you down deep. It isn't what people say you are, just let them talk as they please. It's what you know you are inside. What counts is what God sees.